you ready? Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
All right, good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the first episode of the week, because we had a little bit of snafu yesterday. Snafu yesterday when it comes to technology and updating computers and not doing it in time for the start of the show yesterday. So I know a lot of you were chomping at the bit to hear us and listen to our wonderful insight from what we saw on Sunday and over the weekend, but you're going to have to wait just a little bit longer. But we're here now, and we're ready to go. So without further ado, though, I have to bring in my good buddy, my co-host. And, well, usually I say nice things about Rhode Island, but I'm going to reserve that for today's show, because I got a bone to pick with a certain fellow alumnus of Bishop Hendrickson High School, like my good buddy here. Mike, how you doing today?
No! La, la, la. I'm doing very well, my friend. Look, bottom line, I know that the difficulties that you have, first of all, it is Hendrickson, not Hendrickson. I have to point that out. Well, being the alum that I am, I said food instead of foo earlier.
I'm having a difficult speech day. Let's just put it
that way. It's true. It is. It's true. And I understand. I know the blood is boiling. You can't wait. But first show of the week, first show of the month, first show of the month of December. We kick off a whole new month today. And yeah, I can understand where you're coming from. But I'm doing well. I'm hanging in there. And 2020 just continues to get more and more interesting. Now we have a football game being postponed multiple times for COVID, definitely a valid reason, but apparently not enough to overtake the lighting of the Christmas tree in Rockefeller Center this year. Should have been a prime time game at 8 o'clock. Unfortunately, now going to 3:40 p.m. On Wednesday. So Wednesday afternoon football. Four words I never thought would, you know, would three words, excuse me, I never thought would come together. But, but that's pretty much it. I mean, yeah. So
yeah, I mean, look, it might be appropriate for me to just like hum the intro to this, because it is kind of lackadaisical. And look, I mean, I'm going to set aside the pretense of the NHL. I got to get my crap together, because we got John Sapicetti coming on later, and we're probably going to argue about quarterbacks and talent and all that stuff. So I gotta focus. I gotta get myself, speaking correctly, sort of speak. See, I can't even say the word speak, properly. But no, look, Mike. I wanna be nice. I wanna be nice to Rhode Island. I do, I really do. I don't know if I can. Because here's the deal. I like you, and I know Rhode Island's small, so everyone knows everyone. Like literally, the two people I know from Rhode Island happen to grow up together. That's how I know
that Rhode Island. That should tell you all you need to know about this state. Really, that really should. Yeah.
I know again there's some bias there for you, but Will Blackman had a interesting comment, and this is something that started coming up again. I mean, because again, people have of such short memory, and you know, at some point you knew it was going to happen. The pro Aaron Rodgers crowd was going to start making some noise again, and you heard it after obviously Sunday Night Football and Monday Night Football, or whatever, our Sunday afternoon football. You know, Tom is the GOAT, of course, you know, because really, at this point, if you're arguing against that, it's such a silly argument. That's besides the point. But this is where they land. Aaron Rodgers is the most talented player of all time. Patrick Mahomes, most talented player I've ever seen in my life. And the reason I had an issue with what Will Blackman said, and what basically what he said was, Aaron Rodgers was so much harder to prepare for. Will Blackman played two career games against Tom Brady, one of which was in the Super Bowl. He took zero defensive snaps. Now, I'm not sitting here knocking him for becoming a professional football player. It's an incredible accomplishment. He should be proud of what he does. I'm not knocking that. I'm knocking the motivation. I'm knocking the disingenuous nature of it all. Because, again, people see that and they're like, oh, a real NFL player, he's saying it. He's saying it. All right, he's saying it. Okay, well, yeah, but, I mean, I'm not about to sit here and say, well, it's only Will Blackman. Well, Will Blackman only played those two games against Tom Brady. And we could sit here and say, like, well, you know what? Darrell Revis calls Tom Brady the greatest quarterback of all time. Darrell Revis played against Tom Brady twice a year at the same position, cornerback, that is, as Blackman. Twice a year as their division rival and played with him and won a Super Bowl. I think Darrell Revis knows a little bit more than Will Blackman in this scenario. But you know what? That's all people need to hear. And, you know, it got my blood boiling because, of course, you know Ryan Clark is still, I'm convinced he's just sour to no end about the Patriots whooping up on the Steelers all those years. And it probably costing him a chance at a Super Bowl, so, or another Super
Bowl.
When
your team consistently gets the floor mopped with it by the team that you dislike, you're going to get that same disgust and that same hatred that Ryan Clark loves to spew out of his mouth. Look, there's no question about it. The Tom Brady Patriots owned the Pittsburgh Steelers for 20 years. It was never a rivalry. It was never even close. The Patriots absolutely annihilated and mopped the floor with that team for 20 years.
At least Will Blackman can say they won a Super Bowl
Ryan, really, that's coming from a place of hatred, and just every time you see the image of Tom Brady, it just wants to make him put his head through plate glass, kind of like how we all feel when we listen to Ryan evaluate the NFL. But getting back to Will, and I can tell you, I know Will personally.
Yeah,
he is not a classmate. He's not a classmate of mine, but I did go to Hendricken with him, and really one of the classiest guys that I know in any walk of life. And what I think his context was, and again, I'm not speaking for Will. I'm not trying to put words in his mouth, because I agree with you to a certain extent that the comment that's made in context, when you look at the context surrounding it, it's not as damning, but people are going to latch on to that. They're going to take a look at the soundbite. They're going to look at what the comment is, you know, at its core, and that's what they're going to run with. They're going to look at the surface. They're not going to look at the underlying details of it. So I do agree with you on that. But don't forget, Will Blackman is a former Green Bay Packer. He's going to side with the guy that he played with. And I mean, I don't think that's being disingenuous on Will's part. I don't think that's necessarily, you know, painting him in a different light. It's just like when Teddy Bruschi or Rodney Harrison gets up there and talks about Tom Brady, they're going to have that certain twinkle in their eye when they talk about him. Now, I've heard those guys be critical of Tom, and I've heard, especially Rodney. I mean, he's come out several times and said things that were critical of Tom, that were critical of the way he was playing, things of that nature. They're going to tell it like it is, and I've seen Will tell it like it is on a lot of different occasions, but it doesn't surprise me that he would go in the Rodgers direction as opposed to the Brady direction because of the history there. Former Giant, former Green Bay Packer, I think definitely indelible. That's going to come out a little bit. So, yeah, I understand where some of this is coming from. Like I said, with Clark, it's just a matter of I hate him because he kicks my team's ass every time we faced him. Can you tell I got a little fire in my my stomach about that comment?
A little bit.
But all kidding aside, I mean, I'm not trying to deflect the difficulties away from Will. I understand where you're coming from. I think you have a right to feel that way. But at the same time, I do want people to look at that in context. And again, I can vouch for Will Blackman. He's as good as they come, and he's a reasonable guy too. You sit down, you have a conversation with him, he'll tell you the way it is, but he'll also be willing to listen. Where some of the other talking heads out there, I don't know if they'd be willing to listen the way Will would.
Okay, so I, Mike, do me a favor, say something for me, buddy.
I would like to feed your fingertips to the Wolverines. That good?
Okay, no, that's perfect. That's great. Folks out there on Sportscaster, I guess they're having problems hearing you. So I'm gonna work on that while I talk. Because look, fortunately, you don't speak too much on Tuesdays when it comes down to it. But I do have to fix this before John comes on. You are coming across on the radio, which is okay. So, no, look, this is all talking about the bigger picture, and that is obviously the inevitable. I keep saying we're on mute. Well, folks, I'll try to work with this. Apparently, I think my voice is coming across on Sportscaster. I blame Apple. They released a big update on Macs yesterday, or at least in the last couple days. I decided to update my computer, and it kind of all went to hell here. So bear with me, and I'm going to try to figure this all out. Let me make sure. Joel, if you're listening, and I know you commented on... hold on, folks, you're going to have to bear with me here just for a second. Sportscaster or Full Press Radio. Here you go, folks. Anyways, this is all stemming from the bigger picture and the bigger comment about all this, and that is... You know, Aaron Rodgers, all of us, you know, he's playing great right now. He's kind of got himself back into the 1 and 2 when it comes to MVP debate. And that's all well and good, but it's also brought back the revisionist history when it comes to Aaron Rodgers. And, okay, this absolutely makes sense as to why none of this is working, because none of it's turned on. I'm checking my audio settings now. I'm surprised you can actually hear me, Mike. Oh, I guess we can't hear each other.
I don't think you can hear me. Right, I can't folks, hear you, though.
Looks like we have some terribly awful audio situations going on right now. So we're going to try to reset this. Oh, I'm back. Okay. All right. I'm back. I'm trying to see if we can fix this all on the fly here. So, like I said, just bear with me. We will we'll get this figured out. As soon as Mike is back, can Mike hear me? Is that's the thing?
I can hear you. Mike, can you hear me?
Are you there, my friend?
Just sent you a chat. Can you hear me?
Mike. No Mike. All right. We'll work on that. Hopefully we'll have John Sapicetti here in just a few moments. Like I said, I want to hopefully get him on, assuming all these issues don't continue to go on. But let us know what you think. FPC Radio Live. The discussion we're going to have is mostly going to surround talent versus greatest, because I think it's a silly parsing of a. It's a silly parsing of a argument, and to me it's we'll get into it in more detail hopefully with John coming up here in a second. So I know oh, you can hear Mike now too. I can't hear Mike. Mike, say something for me, buddy.
Hello.
Oh, hello. Oh my God. Okay, I can hear you.
We are back.
Folks,
we're getting dog back.
I think we figured it out. Okay. Joel says we can hear both of us. Thank God, because I was running out of things to say while I was trying to multitask. I was using, Mike and I joke all the time. We each share half a brain. Well, I was using my half of the half. I was using half of that to try to figure out these audio issues. So I was using an eighth of a brain. Is that the math? I don't know. You're just going to have to take my word for it. It's getting a little.
It was my understanding that there would be no math, and no, I think we're great. Joel, thank you for saving FBC Radio Live this morning, buddy. Always, yes. Always comes through. right in the clutch, right when you need him. He is the Julian Edelman of this show. And, tough. We're going to have to talk a little bit about John with that as well. Julian landing on the COVID-19 list. I'm actually working on a piece for FBC Patriots as we speak on Julian. And it's just tough. It's tough to think about.
I was going to say the good thing during our little technical juggling of trying to figure out what the hell was going on with all the audio. I remembered what my original point was before I went on that long rant, and it had nothing to do with what I ultimately landed on, which was obviously talking about the quarterbacks. But real quick, because you mentioned that Steelers and Baltimore game. I was saying I'm going to drop the pretense of the NFL actually caring about health, and I'm going to sit here and say, you know what? If I were the Steelers, I would be pissed. I would be irritated at this point. I mean, because, you know, look, obviously, in my point of view, the health should always be the priority. So, you know, if stuff like this happens, I think these games should have been, you know, all these games, you know, prior to this, you know, earlier in the season, should have been rearranged, rescheduled, all that stuff. I'm dropping that assumption that the NFL actually does care about the player's health, and I'm basing it solely off of what we've seen. And what I'm seeing right now is a bit of favoritism towards the Ravens. Let's call it what it is, because they've now gotten this. Now, they got hit hard, no doubt about it. But they've now seen their game get pushed back multiple times. And it begins to open up the door and the possibility of, well, you know, maybe they'll not miss their game with their quarterback. Maybe he'll end up getting healthy enough to get back on the field. And all of a sudden you're like, you know, wait a minute. We just saw a practice squad running back throw passes for the first time in 3 years for the Denver Broncos because the NFL said, "Nah, we don't care. You have a coach that can throw and knows the offensive system." The Broncos tried to lobby for this. You have a coach that knows the offensive system, and you're not going to allow them to use them when they have literally no quarterbacks on the roster. So they didn't care then, but this is now the, what, third time this game has been moved? And it's almost been moved back an entire week now that it's going to be played on Wednesday. And let's be honest, like I said, they seem to be the only team that's been getting this type of, you know, effort from the league to make sure that these players get healthy in time. Am I crazy? Am I just, you know, putting on my tinfoil hat here?
No, I don't think you're putting on your tinfoil hat. I think that in a lot of ways, this does reek of a little bit of favoritism. And look, I know I went at Ryan Clark pretty hard in the Steelers and whatnot, but they have a right to be upset here. They really do. I think that when you look at the way the NFL has handled some of these cases outside of this, and the Ravens have been hit hard. Again, you said that, and I'm nobody's arguing that point, folks. But Denver was forced to play the other day without an actual quarterback. Although, you know, some teams, I guess, have been playing without quarterbacks for years. But that point is that they didn't have an actual NFL quarterback on staff that could take snaps. They had to get a practice squad wide receiver to take snaps. And by all intents and purposes, the kid did the best he could. But, you know, those are difficult circumstances. They made the Patriots fly out on the same day to play a game when they were hit hard by COVID, 19, issues. And which still amazes me that people think that there are still some idiots out there that think that the NFL was easy on the Patriots when it came to that. No, I don't think so. They really weren't. But yeah, for these accommodations, it almost feels like a bend over backwards type feel from the NFL to try to accommodate what the Ravens are going through. I know they're trying to prevent the spread. I know they're trying to prevent a lot of what's going on. But when you look at what they've done to teams like the Raiders that were hit very hard, the 49ers now, exactly. So, I mean, you look at all of this that's going on now with the with COVID, and you wonder why certain teams are getting preferential treatment. Whether you think it's just the Ravens or not, it's a bad look for the NFL. And really, I mean, they were in every position to be able to avoid this by just scheduling in buffer weeks, trying to understand that there were going to be problems like this. Games were going to have to be outright canceled, delayed. But there's just no continuity in terms of what they're doing. And I think that's really where the frustration is coming from. And especially with the Steelers, because they've really been on the short end of the stick on a lot of this.
Look, and that's the thing, too. It's like, if this was consistent across the board, then I'd have no problem with it, and I'd say, well, boo-hoo, Steelers. It's unfortunate that you happen to be part of this, but it hasn't been consistent. And again, it does, especially when you look at the Ravens, and people talk about, well, they're repeat offenders, they're repeat this. Well, the Ravens have had their hands dirty for a pretty long time. They're always something, and again, I'm doing the Patriots treatment on them, but, there's these little violations that they kind of get hit with. And look, John Harbaugh is known as a bit of a complainer. I mean, we've seen that on TV, mic'd up just a week and a half ago. We've seen it over the past several years, so... maybe there is a little bit of bias there, but at the same time, it's like it's hard not to sit there and say, look, I think the Ravens are certainly being treated more favorably than certainly the Broncos, certainly the Patriots, who got fined, and especially when you consider that apparently one of the Ravens coaches was fined for basically, going against the rules, not wearing a mask, all that stuff, and kind of being brazen about it. So, hey, we'll see. We'll see what happens. They're still looking into it. So, fines could ultimately come down on the Ravens. But trust me, if they don't, then you're gonna hear me a little bit louder about all this conspiracy stuff. And I may actually wear a tinfoil hat on camera. But... speaking of tinfoil hat, no, that's I don't mean that. We love John here, and I know he's a little bit crazy about his quarterbacks, and we're going to talk to him about that here in a little bit. So, Mike, do you have any last words before you don't speak again for the next 30 minutes?
No, you know what? I'll leave that in suspense. I'll use my words tomorrow to kick off the show, and I'll leave everyone wanting a little more. No, all kidding aside.
No, we'll it's get great. We'll you get know, you I did.
Can't wait to get Stapp in. Not all kidding aside, this is great. I always love it when he comes on.
Well, and look, we're obviously and it's not like we plan this every single day. It just so happens that these certain players are always in the news. And hey, coming off Kansas City versus Tampa Bay, which look, and I'm going to ask you about that game right now before we get actually, before John actually gets in here, because. I said it during the game, and I thought, look, it's very obvious when they're playing a Patriots-style offense, and it seems to work very well. Now, I don't know exactly what's true and what's not, what comes out of Bruce Arians' mouth, but he seemed to allude to the fact that Tom's calling all the plays. And again, I'll be honest, like, his act is kind of worn thin a little bit. I'm not, like, a complete, like, oh, he's an awful, terrible coach, but at the same time, I'm starting to be like, all right, let's cut this bravado act here and learn that, hey, look, maybe it's you that's being confused right now as to how to call some of these games. But, this is a team that, on both sides of the ball, looks great and looks bad within the same game. Offensively, again, people keep focusing on the interceptions, and look, they're certainly one of them was not good. Say what you will about the second one, the one that deflected off the helmet. I happen to think, as I believe Romo explained, that look, Tom was looking for one thing, Mike Evans was looking at another, and unfortunately, this just led to an interception. And it wasn't a great throw, and I also don't think it was a great decision on Mike Evans' part. I think he has to be a little bit more aware of where he needs to be, but, at the same time, Tom limited what options he had by committing to that and then, again, ultimately throwing the ball when the play was not there to be made. So, of course, obviously Tom's not immune to criticism. That's certainly not the case. What he is not deserving of is, again, I mean, to me, it's funny. It's funny to think that a guy that's 43 years old, who is going to come close to throwing his age in touchdown passes, at 4,000 some odd yards and 11, 12, 13 interceptions, is washed. Like, how does that make sense? Even if you hate Tom Brady and use the word washed, how does that not make sense? At the worst, maybe you can make a case that he's a top 10 quarterback at the worst. So how is it that he's washed? And again, people don't like to hear that. Oh, well, you know, Patrick Mahomes has 29 total touchdowns. Tom Brady has 28. There really isn't a huge difference. Is Patrick Mahomes playing as the MVP front runner? Sure, absolutely. But that's not to say that there's this significant gap. And we saw it on Sunday. We saw it on Sunday, and we're going to talk a bit about that with John. And I can't wait, because obviously we disagree on a lot of things, but it's fun, and I think we always get a good fun out of each other. So what were your thoughts on the game, Mike, and what do you see with this Bucs team now hitting their bye week? Where do you see this team needing to go to play more consistently and play to the level that I think we all know that they can?
Yeah, I think it's just consistency. Like you said, there are flashes of where this team can play like it's one of the top teams in the NFC, maybe even the top team in the NFC, when you look at the talent they have on both sides of the ball. But they're not playing like that. They're not giving nearly the consistency that a team like Green Bay or even New Orleans has done this year. And even they haven't been extremely consistent week after week after week. I think the NFC can be had if there's a team that's out there willing to take it. But we've seen a lot of inconsistencies with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Defensively, they'll make plays, they'll look pretty solid, and then, of course, at the same time, they'll also have difficulty, and then they'll let up plays where you look at it and you say, oh, how is this team considered having an elite defense when they look like this at times? It's difficult. On offense, yeah, there definitely does look to be a disconnect at times in terms of play calling, in terms of what the teams are capable of. I think a lot of this does come from offensive play calling and maybe even game planning. Byron Leftwich and Bruce Arians need to take a look in the mirror and realize that it's not just on your quarterback's shoulders. You didn't bring in Tom Brady to be able to lay the blame at his doorstep and say, oh, look, no, it's not our fault. It's Tom's fault. Because guess what? You were having the same problems last year. It comes from game planning, and they need to do a better job. Utilize Tom's strengths. I saw a tweet, and I can't remember the author of it. I really can't, but it's almost like asking a brain surgeon to come to it is a funny tweet, and I forgot who it was. Having Tom Brady in Tampa Bay allows you to be surgical in terms of your approach to offense. It's almost like they brought in the world's most renowned brain surgeon to just have him do, minor implants, as a plastic surgeon. He's capable of doing it, but I mean, why would you just use his talents to do that when you're capable of doing so much more?
I think that was me. I think I tweeted that. And if no one has any follow-up questions, we can just move on and accept that that was a funny tweet by me.
Exactly. I mean, it's just, to me, that's exactly what you're seeing in Tampa Bay. When Tom is in sync with his receivers, you see great things. You see it all the time. But when there's questions about routes and things of that nature, can he sit back, chuck the ball downfield? He can do it.
Oh boy. Well, the audio issues continue here. Like I said,
he's adjusting his game.
Oh, there he is. Sorry, you just like cut out for like 30 seconds. So, apparently your voice was just too thunderous and it knocked out the power lines apparently. I don't know. Anyways, you're back. You're back.
Well, in any case, I am back, folks. Yes, I am back. And basically what I was trying to say was Tom's connection with his new receivers, there has to be a learning curve. He's still getting used to this offense. He's still getting used to this set of teammates. The coaching staff, it's an adjustment. And for people to sit there and expect in a year in which you had essentially no training camp, no OTAs, no opportunities to work out beyond what was given to you, even in private settings, those things don't hold the same weight because coaching staff is not doing its job. It's a different type of feel. And in that respect, to dismiss that and just not, just toss it aside because it doesn't fit your narrative is not responsible. It's something that has to be said because it is a part of growing. Coming together. I think you've seen that Tom can carry this team when he's capable of doing it. I really, to be totally honest with you, I'm looking forward as much to next season in Tampa Bay as I am the remaining few games here, because I think you're really going to see this team hit its stride, especially if they have a full off season of preparation, of working out together, of organized team activities. I think you're going to see this team really pop, but don't count them out this year. I still believe in the Tampa Bay Bucks, and I think they're going to be right there at the end with all the teams in the NFC in the mix for a title.
Well, and that's just the thing. It's like, you know, they... You know, the hope is that they're not internally pointing fingers, because then again, then they're never going to solve this, because, you know, there's blame to go across the board. And depending on where you're coming from, what your motivation is, you pick and choose what you blame. I mean, everyone's praising the defense, and they did a great job in the second half. They were abysmal in the first half. I mean, people ask, oh, how'd they fall down 17-0? Well, they didn't get a rhythm early on offense, but when you don't cover players... wide open, Tyreek Hill. you got to cover him. You allow a guy to get 200 yards in the air in the first quarter. Yeah, that's an issue, and not so much on the quarterback. So I'm excited, because I was starting to worry that he would never bail out on this. You know, I know he's chomping at the bit to join us, but since we've been having so many audio issues with connections and everything, I was hoping we weren't going to have to put this off, because we got John Sapicetti on, and I've been excited to talk about this. I know John's excited to talk about all this. John, how you doing today? Do you have your voice? Are you feeling good? Are you feeling confident? Are you feeling energetic?
Absolutely. I've had several cups of coffee, so I feel
really good. I can tell.
Yes.
Mike, how you
doing?
It's
decaf, but it's still coffee.
Mike, you still there? Or did you hang up? I know we said you weren't going to speak much, but hopefully you're still here.
No, that's all right. I'm just getting my favorite pillow out, and I'm ready to just, sprawl out and take a nap. John, always a pleasure, buddy. I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. Always great to have you join us here. You know I'm only kidding, my friend.
Absolutely, Mike. Absolutely. Had a great Thanksgiving. Hopefully yours, you and your family as well, and same with Ian and your family. And, now it turns into Tuesday morning quarterback discussion between Boomer Esiason and Phil Sims over here.
I don't even want to know who's who, because I don't know which one is worse, to be honest with you.
Or, I'm a big Boomer fan. I think he's the best jock-turned-broadcaster. I think his show on WFAN is good.
Okay,
I like his analysis. I think
so
he's really
Boomer?
Good. Phil Sims, to me, is... I'm a Boomer guy. No, but actually, this is more like Skip Bayless against Shannon Sharp. You can be Skip Bayless, because Tom Brady does nothing wrong and Aaron Rodgers sucks, and I can be, Shannon Sharp, who loves Aaron Rodgers.
Well, like I said, it could get worse for you. You could be Nick Wright. And look,
Nick's on Team Mahomes. I get that.
Yeah, but I know you enjoy him. I know you. You're
yes.
a fan of his. Did you happen to see his timeline Sunday night on Twitter?
During the Packers game?
No. During the Bucks and
Afternoon game. Sure. Yeah. Because he's a huge Kansas City Chiefs fan.
Oh, I don't know. I couldn't tell you because he didn't.
Well, he was more about Tom
single...
Brady. But you know what though? I will say this: someone had a retort or push back against Tony Romo, who clearly must have received some sort of payment to just absolutely pump up Tom Brady. No throw was Brady's fault. It was the receiver's fault. It was the offensive coordinator.
That was the head coach. That was a bit much.
That's
a common misconception, though, because one of the big things that Nick criticized him was obviously misleading, because, in the analysis, Tony Romo, he said right off the bat it wasn't a great throw. But this is talking about the one that ended up going off the helmet and all that. What he was looking at was, and this is the disconnect between the receiver and the quarterback throughout the season, we've seen this, that, you're looking at Mike Evans, and Mike Evans is, he's a good receiver. He doesn't know exactly where to be at times, or at least where Tom Brady expects him to be at times. So in that sense, Tom struggles, and he panicked, and he threw a bad ball. Again, hits off the helmet. That's kind of tough luck. But
you watched the Packers game? Does it ever look like Marquise Valdez-Scantling ever knows where he's going? And yet Aaron Rodgers keeps going back to him. He's not even close to being the talent of Mike Evans. He doesn't belittle him. He's fast. He's faster than Mike Evans. And that's
Mike
the ball
Evans. Mike Evans also leads the league in touchdown passes, so I'm not completely saying that these two aren't on the same page. I think there's a
work in progress. I think 80% of them are from 1 yard out, but that's okay.
Hey, that's still fine. That's fine. How many little dump offs? And I'll say it. It's the most in the league that Patrick Mahomes has. And let me add this too. I've never seen someone throw more inaccurate, wide open passes in my life than Patrick Mahomes. But we'll get to that in a minute.
I'm sure PFF will have a stat for that.
I think they're knocking on my door trying to hire me right now.
You'd fit right in with them. He's not that good if you look closely.
No, and my motivation with all this. I never say he's not that good. It's about perspective. And like I said, we'll get to that. But with Nick, it's kind of like, look, I understand that you like him. I think it's kind of a sad act. I get what he's trying to do, but it's really over the top. Like, to the point where, like, he's obsessing. Like, literally, you scroll through his timeline, not one single mention of the Chiefs, Mahomes, anything. It was literally 8-9 straight tweets about Tom Brady, and it's very predictable, too, because he only opens his mouth when he struggles, and he's quiet as all hell when they're actually doing well, which is the majority of the time, and you'll see that when he has a week in between tweeting, and it's one tweet, and it's usually one moment of the game that's early on, and then after that he shuts up. But look, the bottom line is, yeah, of course.
Well, you know what's good?
Yeah.
Finally, the Buccaneers have a bye week, so we won't have to watch Tom Brady this week. So that'll be good for all of us. We need a little break heading down the home stretch.
That team definitely needs it. Let me tell you, they need the bye week. They need to do some looking in the mirror. But here, at the same time, you're sitting here talking about Romo defending Tom Brady. When I have to hear Mahomes' magic, when he throws to a wide receiver who has nary a defender in sight within 10 yards, I don't want to hear about what a magical throw by Patrick Mahomes. No, he's throwing to a spot, a giant spot, often inaccurately. Because, like, how... And I said this first touchdown pass, people, and here's the deal. And this is my problem going back to Nick Wright, because this is what he criticized Tom Brady for. He said he threw an inaccurate pass when the ball went directly through Cameron Brate's hand. I mean, directly through the middle of his hands. But Cameron Brate did not close his hands to catch the ball. It went right through. He criticized Tom Brady for throwing an inaccurate pass on that. But at the same time, we'll sit there and laud Patrick Mahomes for throwing to a wide-open Tyreek Hill 60 yards down the field that's behind and, you know, low. So Tyreek Hill has to do basically a 180 to catch the ball and actually make a play out of it when, you know, people sit there and be like, he's the most gifted thrower of all time. And that's something kind of what we're getting into a little bit.
Well, we saw that guy on Sunday night when the Packers destroyed the Bears. I still think that Aaron Rodgers is playing at an extremely high level. This reminds me of the discussion people would have with, you know, the Beatles or the Stones. And sorry to go into the way back machine, but they're still, you know, all-time great bands. The Stones, the Beatles, the Stones. And sometimes the answer was the Who. And that's what we get in the NFL sometimes. It's like Mahomes, Brady, Mahomes. Well, the easy answer is Aaron Rodgers is playing at the highest level. Does anybody realize that in the same amount of games, the Green Bay Packers have scored one more point than the Kansas City Chiefs? Packers have scored 349 points. The Chiefs have scored 348. So we give you that the Chiefs have better weapons than the Packers, but somehow poor Aaron Rodgers, who, you know, half the country loves and half the country hates, he is a polarizing athlete, I get that, has put up one more point than Patrick Mahomes with, you know, inferior weapons and only in the second year in his system and playing a tougher schedule. To me, the MVP race is down to two guys. It's Rodgers and Mahomes, and then you can throw Derrick Henry, Wilson, you know, Russell Wilson had a so-so night last night. He'd be fourth. And then you got to put one defensive guy in there. It'd be Aaron Donald, who, you know, has kept the Rams afloat just by being a complete wrecking ball. But I think Rodgers is playing at the same level as Mahomes, maybe even at a higher level, because I don't think he has all the toys Mahomes has. And you sent me that tweet that when Rodgers was on with McAfee and said, yeah, it's like none of us have ever thrown these balls before. You know, it's true. No, I mean, Dan Marino threw balls that we hadn't seen before, and before him had been Joe Namath and so on and so forth. I mean, and not to get off on the subject, but I know when we rank all the all-time great quarterbacks, and I always rank them in Super Bowl era and pre-Super Bowl era. Mm-hmm. Johnny Unitas had a stronger arm than Tom Brady. So Johnny Unitas, if you want to put him in the discussion, all well and good. It's not like other sports where, you know, people will say, well, yeah, he dominated the NBA where the average guy was 6'3", a white guy wearing knee pads. The NFL, throwing a football, you know, guys did it at a high level back then as well, mm-hmm. like Johnny Unitas. But in terms of the Super Bowl era, no. Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback of the Super Bowl era. Arguably the greatest player that's ever laced up a jock strap on the football field. I always vote for Paul Brown as my coach and Jim Brown as my player. But nonetheless, no, that discussion's completely different. Oh, it's just what he is now. You know, so that's where we have to kind of separate all these things.
Well, and that's fair. And pulse check, Mike, you alive?
I am alive. Okay. I am alive. I'm taking in all of the Mahomes, Rodgers, Wilson, Brady, wisdom and counsel. It's great. This is excellent. This is good. This is how I educate myself. It's kind of like a master class going on right now.
It's Tuesday. It's a half day for Mike. And
of course I got the Stooges going in. On a TV on the side, so everything's
oh,
good.
On the TV, not on the other side of the microphone. Okay.
Well, no, it would be good.
Yeah.
Whoop.
Oh man. And look, Tom, and here's the thing, and this is what we're kind of getting into too, is this whole. I agree with everything that you just said about Aaron Rodgers versus Patrick Mahomes. Again, this must be conflicting because you like both those guys, and I don't dislike them.
I do.
I mean, and that's the thing. Like, people, like, when it comes to picking sides of where I have to go, I'm going to go the opposite of over praise, over the top praise, because mm-hmm. I think, again, and I think Mahomes gets it to nauseating extent. I mean, I think if social media were bigger earlier in this last decade, you'd hear the same thing about Rodgers, similar things, but it really wasn't, and you know, whatever. But you know, he got.
Well, we saw it on national broadcast, though. I mean, and they
exactly.
You know what? Rodgers is, you know, Troy Aikman is the biggest fan of Aaron Rodgers. Obviously, mm-hmm. Chris Sims is even a bigger fan of Aaron Rodgers than I am, and I didn't think that was possible. There's different levels here, though. I mean, Mahomes. He's fresh. He's mm-hmm. new. He's exciting. He does things differently than Rodgers did, who did things differently than Brady did. And as great as Brady is, and no one's debating he's the greatest quarterback of all time, I don't find him as exciting to watch as Rodgers or Mahomes. You know, I mean, those guys are just lighted up.
And
they make throws that you go, holy crap.
But that's and I'm glad you brought that up, because I think that's a good segue. And we joke about this because we do disagree on some of the fundamentals of this debate, which is fine. I mean, which is great, because I like this. I like this discussion. That's the key to me. Different isn't necessarily better. I'm not saying that's what you
right.
think. I think that's what the overwhelming majority thinks. So different is better. Mm-hmm. I agree. Tom Brady is perhaps the most mechanically sound quarterback of all time.
Sure.
That's not flashy, though, so that's not exciting. But the thing is if you appreciate the cerebralness of what he does and how he slices and dices and picks apart defenses, all that stuff, all those superlatives, that's where you get to that aspect of, wow, he's an incredible quarterback. The problem is, not a lot of people are willing to do that. Certainly not now, where one, the game's changing, so you're having less of those guys. And of course, so, you know, guys like Mahomes, guys like Rodgers, you mistake indifferent for better. And again, I'm not saying you, I'm saying in general, because we do disagree on that aspect, because people say, oh no, of course Tom Brady's the greatest, but Aaron Rodgers is the most talented of all time, or Patrick Mahomes is the most gifted or talented of all time. And I say hogwash. I say that's basically, I think what that equates to is people saying he runs fast and throws farther, and that equals more talented, when in my eyes, being a quarterback, there's so much more talent in different aspects than just that.
Sure.
So to me, to sit there and say,
Jay Cutler could throw the ball better than Tom Brady.
Yeah, well, of course.
Jay Cutler had all the arm talent you'd ever want. Jeff George, I'll go back, you know, 30 years ago, had incredible arm talent. Dan Marino doesn't have to take a backseat to anyone in terms of arm talent and really, quite frankly, quarterback play. I think he's, you know, a top 7 or 8 quarterback of all time. But I think that this is similar to maybe some basketball discussions we had many decades ago. Bird and Magic, you know, were the two best players in basketball. And then along comes Michael Jordan. And until Jordan started, you know, running off six titles in 8 years, people would still put him third among those three players, even though you could just look at him and say he was better. It didn't mean that you had to disparage what Bird or Magic could do. It was just they did things differently. And the way I like quarterback play, and I find the quarterback play in the NFL so amazing right now, is that quarterbacks come in all different shapes and sizes. Mm-hmm. I mean, did you see the end of the game last night when Russell Wilson and Carson Wentz shook hands? Russell Wilson was up to his shoulder. Yeah. I mean, Russell Wilson's like 5'10 and a half. Murray. Wentz is 6'5". Look at Kyler Murray. Yeah, so there's no cookie-cutter quarterback anymore. You got Wilson and Murray, guys that, you know, probably wouldn't have been drafted, you know, 15 years ago because they would be deemed mm-hmm. too short. Then you've got giant quarterbacks, you know, Tom Brady, 6'5". Carson Wentz is 6'5". And then you get guys in between. You've got Mahomes and Rodgers who were 6'2 and have the great arm talent. So they come in all different shapes and sizes, and I like that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like a time where, okay, this guy looks and plays like the corporate quarterback. These guys are all different now. That's why I think we're getting quarterback play at the highest level, also because the college game has evolved to the point where now the NFL is copying college football. So these kids are coming in and ready to play right away. And, of course, the relaxed rules don't hurt either. I mean, you know, just watch any games from the 70s or 60s, and you see quarterbacks were getting bashed, you know, 3 seconds after a play, and there'd barely be a flag called. Now, you know, every interception Mahomes throws comes back because someone, you know, roughed the passer. And the same thing with Brady. I mean, they're both protected quite well.
Again, Brady, zero roughing the passer calls against him last year. So I'll throw that out there before I say this, though, because, you know, that's something that, you know, what? Again, you talk about the rules, and this is a discussion I had recently because they brought up, you know, Mahomes' first 41 games and Brady's first 41 games, which is great, which is awesome. But the problem is too many people, and not just fans, but national media, will misinterpret that very obviously. Again, the Nick Wrights of the world will sit there and say, well, obviously Mahomes is a much better player. Well, no, not obviously, because again, if you don't take into account the context of the evolution of the game, because like you said, the college game 15 years ago, you used to go from one system in college to a completely different one in the NFL. So you had to learn how to be a different quarterback if you happen to play this, spread it out, like, you know, air raid offense type thing. Now, you know, a lot of these teams are doing that. I mean, again, relaxed rules allows that to happen in the NFL, whereas in college, I think there's a lot more talent discrepancy. There's a lot more talent gaps that create more open space. You know what I'm saying? So, mm-hmm. like, in the NFL, even the worst team, even the Jets, the talent discrepancy isn't as much. So you're seeing that. So, but, you know, when you sit there and say, you know, sometimes you just see, you know, with Jordan and Bird, obviously I'm not old enough to remember the very beginning of that, but I'm assuming that the comparison was kind of basically talking about Mahomes. And it's like, yeah, I see a very talented kid. I don't see someone that's over the top better than everyone else. And I know that comes across as being, oh, you're just a hater. And maybe I am.
Right.
Maybe no, in a couple
and
years.
And again,
me,
I think.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe in a couple years from now, I'll wake up from this stupor and be like, all right, maybe I was just, you know, I was the Nick Wright to Patrick Mahomes, anti-Patrick Mahomes, who knows? But the
right.
point... But,
no, I think it's fascinating because you have, again, the start of his career is really unprecedented in terms of individual numbers. Although Dan Marino, and I keep bringing him up, you know, his first year in the league, he led the Dolphins to the playoffs. His second year, he set every imaginable passing record, and that was in 1984. He was the league MVP. The next year, he was the only team that beat the Chicago Bears in 1985. So I'll put up Marino's first 3 years, and he didn't get the city year against anyone's. A lot of this has to do with coaching, and a lot of it has to do with defense. And look, coaching's important, right? We're seeing Tom Brady now with a boob like Bruce Arians after spending 20 years with Bill Belichick, and we're seeing it with Aaron Rodgers in a sense. How bad a coach is Mike McCarthy now? Look, I mean, he's with the Dallas Cowboys. He's horrible. And now Rodgers has at least a competent play caller in Matt LaFleur, and we see him playing at a high level. look, Patrick Mahomes went to the perfect situation. He wasn't the first pick in the draft, and sometimes that can be a good thing for a quarterback because he already went to a team that went to the playoffs the year before. He spent a year studying under a total pro in Alex Smith, and he got to play with Andy Reid. So that perfect situation with all sorts of tools. So you look at Deshaun Watson, a little bit different. He had the knee problem. He went to less than a great coach in Billy O'Brien. He did have DeAndre Hopkins, but not a real well organization. You know, you put Deshaun Watson in Kansas City, the results might not be that dissimilar.
Yeah, no, and I see, and that's the point. I agree with that. And I made a mention earlier that I haven't, and again, I don't have any, this is more of a, maybe a little hyperbole here, but I don't think I've ever seen someone complete more wide open throws that were as inaccurate as Patrick Mahomes. And this isn't just this past week. I mean, go back to the week before where he's thrown behind Travis Kelce. He missed a couple where he missed a wide open Mecole Hart. He even joked on Twitter about it. And you go back to the Super Bowl. The throw, the big throw to Tyreek Hill. Yeah, it was great and all. Tyreek Hill made the catch. That throw was just just hucked up there. There's no
action. The ball traveled 65 yards.
Okay,
the ball traveled 65
awesome.
Yards in the air off of an 11-step drop off his back foot.
Awesome.
Not all
awesome.
Throws are the same.
I'm not saying it wasn't a bad throw. I'm not saying it wasn't a bad throw. What I'm saying is this
but if
idea,
a guy
this
is
perception.
Wide open.
Gentlemen, don't make me go
quick.
Chris Wallace here on
no. this is what I'm saying. And
you're
I'll go back to the let's say the drop.
This is all fake news, folks. This is why neither one of these guys need to be your president. I need to be. Right. I'm the only one that can handle it.
I can mute both of your mics, by the way. Just remember that. I have the power, my key man. But
poor Mike hasn't said a word in a half hour.
Well,
so
he knew that. He knew that.
He
knew that. Real quick, though.
Because I don't have to. It's because the words that I say are the most indelible.
It's about the impression because, like, you know, we'll go to, and I'm not talking about the pick that was intercepted by Brady, but the deep pass to Mike Evans that Mike Evans, look, you're as good as a receiver. It was on point. You got to make that catch. And, you know, it went off his hands. That gets lauded as an inaccurate deep pass on Brady's part by the national media, and the deep pass to Tyreek Hill, again, not in the Super Bowl, but the first one, the 75-yarder one, is lauded as an incredible, accurate deep pass, and it wasn't. I thought Brady's throw was better, but again, the result was different. So that's what I'm saying. So, like, I'm not trying to – maybe I am. Maybe deep down I am trying to bring him down, but I'm not trying to sit here and say that, you know, he's a bad quarterback. It's just trying to put things in perspective, and it's how people look at it. And John, we got to start getting you on at 9 o'clock. You know what, Mike, just take Tuesdays off from now on or just pop
no.
in and say, no, I'm
why don't
joking.
We just do, why don't we just do a podcast together?
I'm starting to think
eschew
that
the
might...
Tuesday. No, eschew the Tuesday morning and you and Mike do such great work. Stay together. Poor Mike is, you know, on his second episode of the Three Stooges, no pun intended, with us involved. But yeah, do a podcast. That's fine. We'll just do, you know, actually, you know what? I got to work with Tom Keegan, Get Off My Lawn podcast. Maybe we'll take it over till we figure out how to handle Tom technically, because now he's living in Indiana. Actually, you sound more like the grumpy old man than I do.
Yeah, I'm the one holding on to tradition and appreciating.
I'm
the
millennial. I like
yeah.
the cool quarterbacks. Yeah, I'm like the 24-year-old.
Well, guess what?
Patrick Mahomes is the greatest ever.
Cool and throwing off your back foot doesn't get you extra points. That's all I'm going to say.
It gets the chicks, though.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The chicks.
Throwing
off
the back
yeah.
foot.
Yeah, I'm sure. Throwing off the back foot, blindfolded behind his back.
Brady even won on that one. He's married to the world's most famous supermodel. He even won that debate.
Oh, man. With that said, though, I wish we had another 2 hours to keep doing this. But unfortunately, we don't.
Mike doesn't.
Well, Mike's
just remember the lesson that I've learned all throughout today, folks. Chicks dig the back foot. There you go. That's the lesson from today. That should be the title of the show.
Rex Ryan would attest to that as well.
Yes, he would. Folks, I don't know how we can end any better than that. Have a great day. We'll talk to you all tomorrow.